And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And it left the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine. Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey, everyone. Jim here, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Today is the day we premiere Season 10 right now, and we have the incredible Chase Butler on the show. And you might be thinking to yourself, who's Chase Butler? Well, Chase Butler doesn't have songs on the radio. Chase Butler doesn't play an instrument on the stage. Chase Butler is what we here in the industry call a TM. He is the tour manager for the ever so talented, ever so lovely, ever so sweet Ella Langley. But he's done other things, and you're going to find out in this episode what he has done. He is unbelievable. I love this kid. He's got it. Cannot wait to meet him here in a few months this summer while Ella is up our way. I can't wait to meet her, and you know, just him and just everybody. I'm like, this is a wild ride that we're on. So thank you so much for everybody for being here. If it's your first time, welcome. I don't know why it's your first time. We're episode 222. Like, where you been, guys? But if it is, welcome. Thank you for being here. Check us out on our socials, Boots and Whiskey Podcast, everywhere on socials. Our website, it's bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. We have some things coming out that should be releasing this week, like some tour reviews. We saw Tanner Usrey this weekend. We did PBR this weekend. So all those things going to be written and put out. And when the fuck do I have time for that? We'll find it. We'll do it. Oh, we also have a review of the new Shane Smith and the Saints album, Norther. That's coming out on Friday on all platforms, March 1st. If you don't know who Shane Smith and the Saints are, first of all, shame on you. And second, when this episode is over, go to wherever you're listening to that has music and put Shane Smith and the Saints in and listen, and just your brain will slowly explode of greatness. So thank you for everybody that's been involved in all of the things I just mentioned. If it's your first time here, if you haven't figured it out, this is what it's like. Where it's ADHD on fucking heroin, or crack or whatever. I don't know. I never did hard drugs, but yeah, we're all over the place and we love it. So, thanks for being here. Without further ado, our conversation with Chase Butler. Enjoy the show, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Cheers, guys.
Hey, man.
What's going on, Jim? How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you, Chase?
I'm doing well, man. This is one of the coolest little links I've ever been sent.
Yeah, man. It's super easy. It's idiot proof. That's why I do it this way.
No doubt. I need to take you up on this.
You know, I looked when I first started doing this, I was like, how is this? What's the easiest way for me to do this and not have to spend money on it and everybody can figure it out? And I stumbled across this. It was called Anchor Podcast before it was Spotify Podcast.
Okay.
You know, nothing has changed since then, really. And it's super easy. You know, when the recording comes out, it sounds like you're actually like here with me. It's awesome. You know, it doesn't have that, you know, Zoom phone right. call sound. So it's awesome.
Well, you found it, dude.
It's like, yeah, awesome. Man. Yeah. Well, thanks for being here, brother.
Dude. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's great to finally get to talk to you.
Yeah.
I've been same. Big fan of the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Had a bunch of buddies on and been listening to you guys for a while. So honored
that you
want to have me. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's, I love, you know, people like you because you get, you know, you have a front row seat to the crazy.
It is a lot of crazy for sure.
Yeah. And so realistically, I'm curious on how, what, where, and why. Like, tell me your story, man. Like, what, how are you where you are today?
Man, we've had about a month worth of off time, and I, find myself looking back at the full story, and it still blows my mind that I'm doing what I'm doing now. I'm from a small town in Alabama called Satsuma. I think it's about 5,000 or 6,000 people in the town, 4 stoplights. I didn't even know that this was an option, dude. Growing up, kind of a sports town. My dad played baseball, won the only championship that my high school's ever won was when my dad was there pitching for them. So, it was kind of a baseball football town. And I grew up one of those radio kids. There was a local country station, 95 KSJ, and that was where we got all of our country music from. And so I remember I would wake up and the alarm clock would, instead of the annoying alarm clock sound, it would just start playing the country station. And I would call in and win concert tickets, and win my grandmother got me on all this, and she used to call in and, win cruises, and, back when radio call-ins were still, legitimate. So that's kind of how I grew up. Made it to high school. I was on track to do political science. I had this one teacher that really kind of invested a lot of time into me. Her name's Latrenda Salter. And she was my computer teacher, but she was also kind of the sponsor for FBLA, which is Future Business Leaders of America. So I was really active in that group, president of that my junior and senior year. And
nerd.
Yeah, right. So that was kind of my future. I was kind of leaning towards that. I would go hang out at the city hall whenever I was, junior, senior in high school. I was always up in Montgomery at the Senate and the House of Representatives, paging. So helping, senators and representatives with bills and doing things on the House floor and stuff like that. So that was kind of what I was really going for. And there was a guy that graduated a few years ahead of me. His name was Colton Bradford, and he was kind of doing the same thing. We were in the same clubs, doing, kind of on the same trajectory. Thought he was going to do political science as well one day, and all of a sudden he went and got a internship at the radio station.
So hold on. I'm gonna stop you right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is this Colton Bradford the same one that we just had here in Boston?
Is he on the radio? And
yeah, he was on one of the country stations, and then he left to do TV.
Yeah, man. That's Colton.
Holy shit. What a fucking small world that is.
Yeah, man. We went to Satsuma High School together. I graduated in 13, and I believe he graduated in 11.
Holy shit. What a small world.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild.
Wow.
I was up in Boston a few, maybe last year, the year before, for a radio event with Tyler, and he was actually supposed to come out that day and end up getting sick, so we didn't get to see each other. But yeah, man, that's Colton.
Wow,
Yeah. He started an internship at that same radio station, and he was kind of that guy, man. Like, everybody knew that he was going to do something, and he definitely helped open a lot of doors for me along the way. So. I graduated high school, went to a community college, in my town, about 45 minutes from where I grew up. And, kind of just going through the motions, man. I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to be in my town anymore. I didn't want to be at the community college. I just wanted to get to Nashville. I got linked up with another person, Shanna Jordan, who was the CEO of Bayfest Music Festival. At the time, it was Alabama's largest music festival. It's no longer around, but I worked 3 years with them. And so she helped me like really understand the festival side of you know, the music business.
Sure.
I was kind of her right-hand guy, you know, doing artist contracts and boots on the ground and getting all the assets from, you know, management teams and publicists and all that good stuff. So she really helped me along the way. And then I was also an intern at that same radio station, 95KSJ. They had a top 40 station that was also in the building. So the very first day I went into the building, they put me on the radio. And, dude, I'm from South Alabama. So there's – I don't know if I sound country right now, but I can, especially when I go back home or I go to the hunting camp. It comes out for sure. So that was kind of how they took me into this top 40 station. It was like after the second show – they were like, all right, you got to work on your accent. So they stuck me in a booth and gave me a prompt and told me to read it over and over and over again until I lost my accent. So I was able to have, you know, a radio voice there for a while. So I did that for a little while, just kind of, you know, watched how everything happened. You know, we had people coming in on radio tours. This would have been 13, 14. So I remember a guy named Austin Webb came in, Thompson Square. I'm trying to think who else, Frankie Ballard. Those guys were really kind of all kicking at the same time.
Yeah.
So I got to see those guys come into town, do the radio tour, you know, do radio shows. We had a huge, you know, we had a venue in town that would host radio shows all the time. And we would get to, you know, have them there. And I got to see, you know, how everything worked. So I was really blessed with, you know, growing up, kind of getting involved early on. So, yeah, man, I made the move to Nashville, I guess it was January 2nd of, what are we in now, 24. So January 2nd of 2015, I made the move to Nashville. And I've been here ever since.
Damn.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's funny you mentioned earlier about the political science thing, because that's what my degree is in. Yeah, I did. I started off with an undergrad in U.S. history, and I had a professor that failed me for a paper I was writing because he didn't like the tone I was using. Which is wild. But anyway, so at that time I was like, well, my minor is political science anyway. I only need like a credit or two, you know, I had done all my credits. I only needed like an extra one or two to make it a major. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to switch, you know, flip them around. I had all the credits for a history minor. So it was whatever. And,
right.
You know, I did the same thing. I did a lot of work for people in local and state government. And, you know, after a little while, I honestly just got sick of it because of all the bullshit that came with it.
Oh, there's plenty of that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of that in the music industry too.
Yeah. Oh,
and it definitely runs parallel. Like I see a lot of similarities, you know, in this, but, yeah, during that time of my life, it was I needed confidence, you know, I needed to be able to walk into a room and kind of take control. And that was kind of what, you know, that time in my life taught me. You know, Miss Salter, the teacher that I referenced earlier, she, you know, we would go on these trips to Montgomery and go to the state house and all this kind of stuff. And you walk in the room, you're like, hey, good morning. How you doing? You're talking to everybody. Right.
Yeah.
And it applies very much to what we do now. You know, you walk into a venue, you got to figure out your contacts. You've been talking to these people, but you've never met them. So you kind of, you know, but you're saying hey to everybody. You talk to the janitors, you're talking to the catering folks, you're talking to everybody. It's just, it's good. It's good life skills that I learned back then that definitely, you know, applied.
Yeah. You know, it's
apply now.
It's funny, you know, doing this, you know, being on the, you know, the quote unquote journalism media side of this, right?
Sure.
You know, we get a lot of perks and shit too, right? So, you know, every now and again, I get to bring my kid or my wife with me to certain things, and you know, it'll be a all access pass or whatever, and you know, I walk in and start saying, "Hey, how are you to everybody?" And you know, either one of them are like, "Do you know who that is?" And I'm like, "Not a clue, not a clue."
But like you've been there before, right?
Right, right. You know, and that's the biggest thing, right? If you act like you know what you're doing, nobody's ever going to question you.
That's exactly right.
You know, it's I love that you said that though, because I think you're absolutely spot on. You know, you have to have that level of confidence to do something like what you're doing. Even for what I'm doing, you know, you have to have the balls to just be like, hey, you know, start a conversation.
Right. And that was, you know, that was the thing too, growing up, being in the political field, as you would say, you know, I was 16, 17 years old. You know, I didn't really have my own views back then. I didn't know what I necessarily stood for. I didn't, you know, I was still in that learning process. So, it's so important to get taught that young, I think, because even going into the music industry, I was still young. I mean, I started this when I was, you know, 19 years old, and I would advance all these shows with these, you know, grown men who've been in this business for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Right.
And, you know, sound like I know what I'm talking about. And then I get to the show day and they're like, "Whoa, I did not realize you were, you know, 18 years old."
Right. So, I didn't realize you had no idea what the hell you do.
Right. Right. So
that's funny. So from when you were doing all this stuff and, you know, before you really got into it, how long was it between, you know, doing that radio stuff and your first, you know, gig? Because weren't you with, I could be totally wrong, I'm just going based on what I've seen on social media, but did you start with Parmalee originally?
No, so I...
Okay.
I started with a guy named Andy Velo first, and Andy's a good buddy of mine. We actually met on a softball team, and actually Robbie Goldsmith from Silverbelly, we were all on the same softball team.
Robbie's a fucking great dude. I love that dude.
Love Robbie, man. And I worked for Robbie when he first started his social media marketing company.
Okay.
So we all get back, but yeah, Andy was my first artist that I worked with. He had some deals with PBR and Jim Beam and, you know, Monster Energy. So we were flying all over the place, dude. I mean, I was I want to say I might have been 20 at the time, and flying all over the place doing these events, you know, with him. And so, yeah, from the time I moved to Nashville, went to MTSU very briefly, and then started with Andy, I would say maybe a year. Huh. So, but yeah, so I went with Andy, did that, worked with Robbie at Hustle Media Company, which, like I said, was his startup social media marketing company. From there, I went and TM'd for Casey Tindall. She was opening for Parmalee in the winter, I want to say like 2017. So November, December of 2017, I was out with her opening for Parmalee. And then, I believe it was not long after that, April of 2018, I started working with Parmalee as assistant TM.
Wow. And then from there, that's when you went to Tyler.
Yeah, I went from Parmalee to Tyler. There was a brief little stint in there where I was just kind of wandering around. I would kind of jump on whoever needed something at the time.
Sure.
Hannah Dasher, Joe Fortner, a bunch of folks who are really, kicking ass right now. But I did Laney. I worked with Laney Wilson for a little while, and then I actually left Laney to go work with Tyler full time.
Wow.
And that was in November of 2019.
Damn. Damn. So when you know, in your position, as a TM, I guess you're the second TM I've really talked to and I've developed a relationship with. But so in your position and the way you have done it, when you go from artist to artist, I'm not saying like it's a short stint or anything, but if with you going from Tyler to now Ella, like how does that work? How does that transition work?
Yeah, man. I mean, we it's so funny because you become such good friends and family with everybody you work with. I was with Tyler from November of 2019, and then I left in October of this year. And dude, it's nothing more than shows. That's what it is. I get paid per show. I'm not on
Okay.
a salary. These individual artists and camps hire, individuals, and the bigger you get, then that's when salaries start, coming into play. But with these newer artists, man, they can't afford to put you on salary.
Right.
And I always want to see something through, right?
Sure.
And what we build together, I want to follow up with that and follow through with that. But at the same time, I'll be 29 in March. I've got I'm in a serious relationship. We just bought a house, and things are maturing on the home side of things, right? The
Oh,
personal
yeah.
side of things. So with that comes, financial stability, and I just have to be in a place that has significant amount of shows to so that I can keep my house. You
Right.
know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it was just a we did close to 95.
We want to give a big thank you to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can find them at offtherailswooster.com. They have a great restaurant, a great music venue. They have everything you would want to feel like in Nashville right here in Central Mass. If you're ever in the area, check out the restaurant, check out the music venue. Again, offtherailswooster.com, 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. Check them out.
I think it was 93 shows with Tyler last year. And that was from January to October. And then, once October hit, we didn't really have anything on the books for the rest of the year, a couple things here and there. And I just, to be quite honest with you, I just needed work and put some feelers out. JD Groover, who is tour manager for John Langston, hit me up because we were actually out with them on the Luke Bryan tour this past summer. And JD said that Ella and her camp were looking for somebody to kind of fill in. They were about to start the John Party tour. And so I just went out, not really with any kind of expectations other than just to get through the end of the year.
Right.
Jumped in with them, did one or two shows and instantly, became family. They're just all great people. Her management team, the band, her, they're all just incredible people. And they had a lot of shows booked for 2024, and a lot of she's on a huge rocket ship right now,
Yes,
bruh.
she
And
is.
there's a lot of things that are happening. And she liked me enough to offer me the position, and I said yeah. So
That's awesome. So is that, again, not to pry too much, but it's more
sure.
curiosity. But so are you in a position now where it's the same thing where it's, based on the shows and all that?
Not so much now. I mean,
Okay.
I am extremely happy where I stand currently. We have a lot of shows on the books. I mean, we were October of last year talking about October of this year. So there's a lot. Oh, she's got the right team around her. And there's a lot of forethought that goes into, you know, the trajectory of her career. So I am right where I need to be right now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, I can only imagine, you know, the planning and everything that needs to go into, you know, somebody like her, because like you said, she's on a rocket ship. You know, I honestly think this is going to be the year that, you know, maybe some, I don't want to say some other female artists get, you know, get forgotten, because I think that's, you know, but you know, some of the females we've seen over the last few years that have been, you know, at the forefront, I think you're really going to start to see, you know, Ella as, you know, the person.
The standout, right? Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. She, and man, she is, what you see is what you get. Everything that you imagine her to be, she is exactly that. She's hungry. She loves to work. Dude, I've never worked for somebody that works harder for their career than her.
Yeah.
She writes every day. There's always something going on her calendar. Very few days off. Very few days off, Ella.
Yeah. You know, we put her at number 5 for our, you know, our top females of the year for last year.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can, you know, honestly, I expect her to be in that 1 or 2 spot, you know, at the end of this year for the year she's going to have.
100%, 100%, man. We just left yesterday the CMT Next Women of Country. She was inducted into the class of 2024 this year.
Yeah.
Alongside a lot of other great females, man. And, you know, that's just one of the lists that she's on this year. You know, as well as all the major tours that we're going to be, you know, on this year, starting off strong. We're doing 36 dates with Riley Green and Tracy Lawrence, that runs through, I believe, June. You know, we jump on the Hardy tour for about 10 shows with Hardy. And then we've also got 4 Morgan Wallen Stadium shows. So she is killing it, bro.
Yeah.
She is doing the damn thing for sure.
Yeah, she is. So let me ask you, maybe you know, so I'm sure you know, but you know, like a tour like Hardy's, right?
Sure.
When he has that direct support, you know, for the majority of the tour or whatever, and then there's, you know, the add-ons like you guys or Steven Wilson or Travis or, you know, whoever it may be, right?
Right.
How and why is that decided? Like, why do you only get 10 shows out of, let's say they do, you know, 50? Yeah, I'm just giving out numbers, right?
Yeah, I mean, it could be just a scheduling conflict. Okay. You know, whenever they decide that they want to do their tour, you know, we, like I said, we were in October of last year talking about October of this year. And, you know, we've already got, you know, festivals booked and, you know, other tours that are, you know, potential tours to jump on as well. So it's all just on who confirms first.
Gotcha. Okay.
And yeah, I mean, you got to think there's X amount of country artists and they're all trying to play the same venues and you know, it is what it is. So,
right.
Most of that is scheduling, just, you know, who's available when. I know there was a few dates on the Hardy tour that, we kind of, you know, were back and forth on, but we ended up making it work. So,
yeah, you know, I'm actually psyched that you guys are going to be here for the stop up here in Massachusetts, because I've wanted to see Ella now for a while. And it seems like every tour she's been on doesn't stop up here or comes up here and it's, you know, in New Hampshire, you know, or something.
Right.
You know, not right. Far away, but like far enough away where it's like, oh, it's a Thursday night. Like, I can't fucking.
Sure.
Sure. Drive.
Yeah, I believe we're going to be up there later part of June.
Yeah.
On the Hardy tour, so we're definitely excited about that.
Yeah, June 21st, and it's a Friday night, so
gonna get wild then.
Gonna get after it. Gonna get after it. Hopefully, I don't have to work the next day.
So yeah. Where are you? Where are you? Are you in the Boston area?
I'm about an hour south.
Okay.
I'm actually closer to like Providence, Rhode Island than I am.
Gotcha.
You know, I'm right in between Worcester and Providence, like smack dab in the middle.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Out in the middle of goddamn nowhere is where I am.
That's the best place to be, dude.
I mean, you know, but it's also weird. We're out in the middle of nowhere, but we're also, you know, for the country music world in this part of the world, like we're almost in like right. a perfect spot. You know, because a lot of the more quote unquote countryer acts come to Central Mass because that's the demographic.
Sure.
And that sort of thing. But like at the same time, you know, some of those acts are also going to Foxborough, you know, which isn't far either. So it's
right.
It's, you know, we're in a perfect spot. We're in a perfect spot.
Yeah, I think I was up in, oh gosh. I know we played Six Strings.
Yeah.
This was back in the Parmalee days, like 2018, 2019.
Yeah, they come through here quite a bit.
Yeah. And then how far are you from like, see, this is one thing I've been to a lot of places, lot of states, but the Northeast is just one big space to me.
Right,
one big place. Yeah. I have zero knowledge about how far you are away from anything. So how, like Guilford,
how far is that from? Guilford is like, from where we are, it's, honestly, it's closer to, I'm going to actually look it up. I think it's like 2 hours.
Okay.
Maybe more.
Gotcha.
It's 2.5. Yep, 2.5 hours.
2.5, okay. And then same goes for like there to like Wallingford, Connecticut.
Yeah, actually Wallingford, because Wallingford's right outside of Hartford. Okay. That's actually a little closer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so from here to Wallingford is... Yeah, just over an hour and a half.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, we're actually going to be up there in a few weeks with Rally.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In Wallingford, so.
Yeah, that's, honestly, Rally to me is one of those acts that, you know, it's huge name, right? But also doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Oh, for sure.
You know? And it's mind-blowing to me because he is so, you know, and he does it like a lot of other, you know, like a lot of other people that have also been successful. You know, he has no problem kind of bucking the national system and doing it his way and still being successful.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And he's country as cornbread, too.
Oh, so yeah.
You know, if it interferes with deer season, he's probably not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, to be quite honest with you, that's the way Ella is too. You know, we finished off our year last year at NFR in Vegas. And, you know, she was like, well, this to me makes the most sense. We could just do our whole year, you know, end at NFR, you know, maybe the first week of December, have deer season off, and then kick things back off in February. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense for me. I love being in the woods. So
yeah, but you know that kind of surprises me that she would be that way. I mean, I guess it makes sense, yeah. Right?
Oh, dude, she's a big hunter, man. Big hunter.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh? You know, it's funny because we try to talk to everybody or as many people as possible, right?
Yeah.
And we're recording this. What are we in? End of January at this point.
Yes, sir.
And the episode we're releasing tomorrow has Becca Bowen on it. Do you know who Becca is?
I do not.
Well, she's a big hunter and that sort of thing. And she won like a reality show where, you know, that's what she did. She hunted and, you know, the whole nine yards. And she, you know, she is like, anybody that listens to this is going to think I'm an asshole, but she's like supermodel gorgeous, right?
Okay.
And like, you know, again, probably super chauvinistic, but like doesn't look like she'd be a hunter at all.
Right.
But yeah. she does it and she rocks it. And it's like, damn, you go, girl. And yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people in Nashville, especially. It's so funny because it's one big city, but it's just a bunch of rednecks.
Yeah.
Like everybody moves from somewhere else to come to Nashville to chase the dream. But, you know, and that's a lot of why you probably won't see, like, maybe more now than in the past, but Lainey, Ella, you know, all these females in country music, they love to hunt. They love to fish. They love to be outdoors. They love to work on the farm.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get here and you're just working so hard and you keep your head down and grind and get after it. And there's really not a whole lot of time for that. You know, luckily we had a month off and I was able to go home and spend Christmas with my family and get in the woods. And that's the first time, man, I've been hunting in years. And now that's going to be a non-negotiable for me. You know, I was able to go home and just, you know, clear my head. You know, there's a lot of shit's going on and a lot of moving parts. And, you know, once we start touring, we do not slow down, you know, till the end of the year. So I've kind of made that a non-negotiable for me now moving forward. It's just, you know, work as hard as you can, do what you got to do, and just look forward to that time you do get to spend in the woods
or,
you know, at the farm. So, yeah, man, there's a lot of people that you wouldn't expect are big outdoorsmen here in Nashville.
You know, I just look to see the date you guys are up here in Connecticut. And of course, it's the fucking same day as Cody Jinks and Turnpike.
Oh my gosh. Fighting for territory up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's close. Damn.
And one's real country and one's going to be a rock show. Yeah.
Right. Right. Damn. You know, isn't that funny how country music is that way, though?
It is. And I love it.
It's mind-blowing, you know, because even, like, you think about, like, an act, even, like, Cody Johnson, right? That is, you know, his music is, that is country music, right? But it's also, if you've ever seen him live, it's, you know, live performance-wise, it's a rock and roll show.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
No doubt.
And it's wild. And then, you know, this stuff that's on the radio and all that, and how different everything really is. And it's great. I think that's what makes this genre so special.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everybody, there's enough room for everybody, you know, and that's the beautiful part about, you know, the state of country music, and where we are right now. You know, it may sound different to the ear, but if you listen close enough to the lyrics, they're all singing about the same stuff.
Yeah.
The same heartbreak that you hear in a Jamie Johnson song is the same heartbreak that Florida Georgia Line's singing about, you know, as different sounding as it sounds. You know, it's the same quality of stuff.
Yeah.
Same lyrically.
So. Right. And if you put, you know, like you said, like if you put any of those lyrics behind any other, you know, musical arrangement, it's going to be the same, you know, it's going to sound different. But the sentiment is going to be there.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's crazy. So, you know, when you're on these tours and doing these things and, you know, at the rate you have seen different acts at, you know, how different is your job from when you're doing, you know, opening slots for, you know, a bigger named artist, or you're the opening slot, you know, like when you were a Tyler or Parmalee or whatever, like how different is the workload?
It's a good bit different. You know, when you're doing headlining stuff, it's, you know, the ball's in your court. You handle everything. And, you know, we're about to start, you know, pretty much the whole first half of my year is laid out for me. You know, the Raleigh tour, starting out strong, almost 40 dates with them. You know, I'm in direct contact with Riley's TM and with Tracy's TM as well. And, you know, all of the pressure is on Riley's TM. Like, he's going to take, you know, if something happens, he takes the fall for it. Or if things are running behind during the show day, you know, that's on him. That's not on me. So you kind of move around responsibilities as far as, you know, us getting there and the hotels for my bus driver and, you know, all that good stuff. That's on me. as an individual. And there's some shows that we're going to have to, you know, I follow his lead on. We get there, we do it his way. And then as soon as we roll out, we've got to go, you know, five states away and headline something. So then all, you know, it's all on me then. But yeah, it's a good bit different. You know, just the difference between male acts and female acts.
Sure.
You know, now I have to consider, you know, I have to have, you know, an hour and a half set out, you know, during the days now for glam and for photos and, right. you know, stuff like that, where when I was with, you know, the men, that wasn't necessarily the case.
Right.
So you just kind of, whoever you're with, and there's certain ways that certain people, you know, like certain things. You know, Ella is super laid back and just such a pleasure, and is extremely grateful and thankful for all the opportunities that we get. So, I mean, you know, on the rally tour, we get 20 to 25 minutes, and the rest of the day is whatever she wants it to be,
right.
you know, outside of, you know, the hour of getting ready, you know, might have 30 minutes worth of meet and greet, 10 minutes worth of radio, you know, outside of 3 hours, it's all up to her. You know, and then I just kind of go, you know, follow her lead. If she wants to go here, I make arrangements for that. And, but yeah, the bigger you get, the bigger the problem, that's for sure. We're on the bus now. And, you know, you work so hard to get on a damn bus, but the bus does break down.
Right. Right.
You know, and things happen, and you have to watch your driver's hours. You can't just go from here to Oregon. You know, it's not that simple. Got to coordinate co-drivers and hotels and flights. And there's always moving parts, you know?
Right.
So, there's a big difference between, you know, TMs that are handling
With keeping that Central Mass vibe going, we have to thank our friends over at the DCU Center, again, here in Worcester, dcucenter.com. They are the premier venue here in Central Massachusetts. They are a mid-size arena. They're the home of the Worcester Railers, the Massachusetts Pirates. Numerous concerts, numerous events. Check them out, dcucenter.com. They are at 50 Foster Street, right here in Worcester. Cheers.
Minor slots versus the opening acts, that's for sure.
It's quite the undertaking. So, you know, you were saying like how, you know, the bus drivers and all that, that's on you and all that. So is it on you to watch their times? Like where it's like, all right, Rick, you've been, you know, driving for 7.5 hours. Are we going to switch in, you know, however long it is? I don't know what the laws are, but, you know, is that on you or is that on them to know, okay, my time is done. I have to stop.
They definitely know. And there's, you know, DOT travel laws that we all have to abide by. And that just goes into my pre-planning, right? So all of the advancing that we do, like, pretty much this entire month, I've just been at home advancing all these shows. And that's, you know, including the routing, you know, so if we have to go from, I don't know, here to New Orleans, you know, I've got to know how far that is. Can we get there with one driver? Is it going to cost me an extra day rate for that driver? Am I going to have a co-driver? Am I going to have to fly that person into New Orleans to relieve them? You know, just different things like that. That's just all part of the work done before the actual tour starts.
Damn.
Yeah.
So like, if you know, you know, for you, if you know you're going from, you know, let's again, argument's sake, if you know you're going from Riley's tour, right into Hardy's tour, right into somebody else's tour, or even your own tour, like, and there's not a lot of time in between. Do you, how much of like, you know, you're going on to Riley's tour here, right?
Right.
How far in advance do you have to start doing the stuff for, you know, Hardy's tour or whatever's going to be next after that?
You kind of just follow the lead on, you know, if you are the opener or in an opening slot, you kind of follow the tour manager's lead, whoever the headliner is, right? So okay. For Riley, Brian started advancing this thing, you know, October of last year for his tour, you know, first quarter, second quarter of this year. And I mean, as soon as I got, you know, we've kind of got some headlining weekends in the middle of the Raleigh thing. As soon as those were confirmed, I went ahead and started advancing those. And I mean, I'm booked. I was telling our management team yesterday, as far as like travel and hotels and all of that, I mean, I'm set well into June at this point. And it's January 24th. Damn. So, you know, and stuff changes all the time. You know, they're going to throw in a festival here, or they're going to throw in a radio play here and stuff like that. So yeah, as long as you kind of have your bases set and kind of a, you know, somewhat of a schedule, you know, the surprises that they throw in aren't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you get a lot of surprises thrown at you out of nowhere?
Not a whole lot. But you know, flights cancel and they overbook bus companies and you know, anything can happen. Sure. And you just got to take it on the nose and keep going, you know? You know, we were on the party tour, woke up one morning on the side of the road. Luckily, we were only 2 hours, you know, from the venue. So I had to call around. All right. Bus is sitting still until we find a shop or a wrecker or whatever. So I get on the phone, start making those calls, you know, work with the bus company to see what the problem is, work with, you know, I got to get all of my guys to and from the venue. So, you know, I've got a rescue bus on the way just in case. I've got a van for the crew. I've got, you know, a dually for the trailer with all of our gear in it. So you kind of gotta be on, you know, damn, all the time.
Damn. You're like the hardest working person in show business. Well, like you and other people that do
all the other TMs, right? Yeah. Wow. I don't know, Mister. I'm just trying to work as hard as I can to become like JR. You know what I'm saying? JR is my buddy, and that's the goal. You work so hard here, you can just move home and you know, live at the beach he's got it set up, my man.
Dude, I don't, you know, it's so wild because, you know, as you know, like JR's been on this show now a couple of times, and, you know, him and I text back and forth every now and again, and, you know, he's always going, you know, he's always going, but always sitting still, if that makes sense.
Right. The hurry up and wait.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's wild. It's totally wild. You know, when I saw that, you know, Justin and was coming up here for the Cody Johnson tour, I was like, you know, I texted him and I was like, this is awesome. And he's like, yeah, he goes, that's all been set in the works and done and figured out months ago. I was like, son of a bitch. Like,
yep. You just can't say nothing about it. You want to be exciting for everybody else. And,
right.
You know, that's us. We got some things that we're sitting on that, you know, nobody's going to say anything until, you know, the middle of summer.
Right.
Now, you know, or sooner than that. But
now, is some of that contractual with the venues that you're going to where you don't want to have like competing shows or whatever, or is that just God forbid something falls through?
It's a little bit of all of it. I mean, you know, our booking agents are working well into the future, as one would hope, to secure these venues. You know, and you do come across, you know, let's say that we're trying to route to Detroit and, you know, Cody Johnson's routing to Detroit and you have, you know, the same venue and Cody got there first. So he's got first hold on it. We've got second hold on it. You know, and if Cody, something happens and he wants to, you know, pivot and go, you know, somewhere else, he'll release that date and then we now become first hold, you know? So all of this happens, you know, like I said, what, months in advance.
Right. So is that, you know, do they kind of look at that where if like, you know, perfect example, right? What we were just talking about, you know, February 10th, you guys are in Connecticut and then Cody and Turnpike are in Boston, you know, yeah, granted they're a couple of hours away from each other, but is that even a thought to to bookers or anything like that, where it's like you're kind of competing
it
in
is.
a similar area?
Yeah, I mean, there's that for sure, and that's not really for the headliner. And I'll say it this way: if Cody's playing somewhere, let's say he's playing in Mobile, Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And he's playing at the Coliseum. There's a bar right down the street that's, let's say, you know, Ella will be playing at. That's not really something that you can worry about competing with. Yeah, you're going to be in the same market. That's what happens then is you're kind of like, okay, well, this concert's going to get out at 10 o'clock, so we're going to do doors at 8, you know, and we won't go on until, you know, 10:30, right?
Right.
Because then you want a chance for everybody to get in. As right. far as bigger acts, I mean, you're always competing with somebody, you know. Like I said, there's so many artists fighting for the same venues. So,
yeah,
always,
you know,
competing.
And it's funny, though, at the same time, you know, talking about that, where it's, you know, you also have to think about your quote-unquote demographic, right? You know,
right.
I'm not sure that, you know, the people that are listening to, you know, like, again, because we're talking about it, but, you know, those that listen to Riley Green, I'm not sure, like, let's say, you know, Kenny Chesney was playing in Hartford that night. I'm not sure that the Kenny crowd and the Riley Green crowd are going to, you know, it's going to be much of a difference. You know, it's going to be a difference, right? That's a kind of look.
Right. Same goes for that Cody Jinks show up there. You know, St. Hardy's crowd is probably, you know, very different from Cody's. Cody Jinks's crowd. So there you're kind of safe, you know, when you start crossing, I don't want to say genres, but if it's different, right? Hardy's
right.
not going to compete with the Kelsey Ballerini crowd.
No.
You know,
no.
So yeah, you don't worry about it as much, but it's still
right.
a thought.
Oh, of course. I'm sure. You know, I can, you know, I think it was last summer where, you know, up here, because there's so many major venues in this area, right? You got Gillette, you've got the Garden, you have Fenway, you have, you know, all these places that can hold bigger, you know, arena
right.
style
50, 60,
shows.
70,000 folks. Yeah.
Right. You know, I think there was one time where it was last summer where it was like Beyonce and there was like three other huge acts in the same area on the same night. And it was like all three of those shows were sold out, but it was like, well, no shit. They have three different, you know, demographics that, you know,
right.
I'm not sure yeah. I would be the first in line to go see Beyonce, you know, but
right.
at the same time, I mean, if somebody gave me a ticket, I don't know if I'd say no. You know?
Hey, I might go see the B, you know?
Right. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Especially if Jay-Z's with her. Fuck yeah.
No doubt.
All right. Now, I'm going to pivot, and I know I'm taking a ton of your time, and I appreciate it.
Like, you're good, dude.
More than you know, man. But this shit fascinates the hell out of me, and, you know, talking with JR and stuff, like, he's so seasoned, right? Like, we barely
yeah.
talk about the ins and outs of things, right? Now, when you're on these tours, is there, like, an etiquette where it's like, all right, well, Ella's going to stay for the whole show, regardless of where we have to be tomorrow?
That is per artist.
Okay.
You know, Ella is a younger artist and she wants to take in as much as she can. And
sure.
the hang is, you know, what you do on stage is wonderful, but for artists and for crews and for everybody backstage, the hang is the most important part, you know, because
yeah.
These are folks that you're hopefully going to be working with for years to come. So, yeah, man. I mean, we stay as late as we can for every show. That's something that she is, you know, made sure to communicate with me that she wants to, you know, take it all in. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, you got to be up early for a flight or you got to be dropped off at the airport you know, it's a time crunch, but for the most part, I mean, it's you know, it's up to the artist
yeah.
how they want to handle that. Maybe it's a Saturday night, and instead of partying until 2 o'clock, they want to be home, you know, be back in Nashville by 8 a.m. you know. Riley, I know he's all over the damn place. You know, he's at a show, and then the next morning he's in a duck blind in Louisiana, and you're like, how did this happen?
Dude, speaking of Riley, so, can I tell you a quick Riley story?
Yeah, please.
Like, when it comes to that shit. So he played here at we have a venue called Indian Ranch. Small place, you know, it's historically it's a country venue, right? Where,
sure,
you know, Johnny Cash has come through, Waylon's come through, you know, you name it, they've been through. And Riley did a radio show on the Cape, Cape Cod, that morning. And then somehow, I'm guessing he flew. He had to have. And then went to almost the middle of the state where this venue.
Now we're going to thank our friends on the North Shore, the Porch Southern Fair and Juke Joint. Our buddy Jonathan Post is the head chef and owner of The Porch. They are at 175 Rivers Edge Drive, right in Medford, Massachusetts. Don't want to miss this place. They have some of the best food in the region. Jonathan has brought his Nashville roots here to New England with the food, with the hospitality, and most of all, the music. Check them out. ThePorchSouthern.com. So I think I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention our friends over at 10thWhiskey.com. That's 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. They're out of Vail, Colorado. Great, great friends of ours. We don't like bourbon here at the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, and they make the absolute best bourbon I've ever tasted in my entire life. And I'm not saying that because they've been great to us. They have the best bourbon, the best rye I've ever tasted in my entire life. So check them out, 10thWhiskey.com. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey Podcast sent you. Cheers.
Marco.
And we're back.
Sweet. Sweet.
Nice.
Sweet.
Riley played a show in our morning show in Cape Cod.
Yeah. And then played a show in Webster that afternoon. Like, he was like an hour late. You know who Palmer Anthony is?
Yeah.
So Palmer opened the show, and his TM, Addison. You know Addison?
I do not know Addison.
Oh, Addison's the fucking balls, man. I gotta hook you guys up. He is the best. So I had reached out to Palmer, and I was like, hey man, I'm at this show, you know, this is what I do. And then he was like, yes, I would love to. Here's Addison's number. Let's meet up. And so, you know, I met up with Addison. They took me backstage. We were shooting the shit, drinking, having a great time. And he was like, hey, he goes, what do you think the crowd's going to do? Because Riley's an hour late. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I was like, do you guys have the option to play longer? And he was like, I don't know. He goes, hold on. So he like texted somebody. I think it was like Riley's. It must have been Riley's TM. And he was like, listen, like, we have a local here, a guy that you know, does this podcast, yada yada yada. He goes, he wants to know if we can do a longer set. And he was like, absolutely, take as much time as you need because we need it. And it was awesome. So Palmer played like an extra fucking half an hour or so or whatever it was.
And, that's great.
Yeah, it was cool, man. I'm not even sure if that's exactly how the story went because I was pretty hammered.
But that's what it looked like, right?
I'm going to take credit for that. Yeah. It could have not happened that way at all. He could have just been being nice. I don't know. But yeah, Addison's a great dude. I'll hook you up with him. Him and I are Facebook buddies. So on our personal pages. So anyway, long story short. So he played that show that afternoon in this area. And then he was slated to do a show in Nashville that night at it was some like big thing over at Winners and Losers in that area.
Sure.
And the motherfucker made it on time and played another whole show.
That's unreal. I mean that's where I'm excited to learn, you know. That's where I can become more efficient at my job by watching his tour manager handle these things,
right?
Because Riley is all over the place right now.
Yeah,
I mean, I think he's duck hunt. He was duck hunting this morning. I don't know what he's doing this afternoon, but I know he was duck hunting this morning. And you know, I, I've it's the same thing. I mean, I see some of these guys, Jelly Roll will come out with whoever in Nashville, and then will literally go straight from Nashville to Huntsville to go headline his own show.
Right.
And it all happens within an hour, you know, and it's like, how in the world? But, you know, a lot of logistics and a lot of work goes into all that. So that's where I am excited to watch, you know, Brian and his team, you know, make all these things happen. So definitely makes makes me want to become a better tour manager, you know, watching all these people just do things like that.
Dude, you're already fucking killing it, man.
You know, we're not there yet, but we definitely will be very soon. So,
dude, Ella's gonna be. I'm telling you, by the end of this year, maybe even beginning of 25, it's gonna be Lainey Hu, and it's gonna be Ella Langley. I'm telling you right now.
Well,
not Lainey Hu, but you know what I mean.
Yes, for sure. Ella's wouldn't mind that at all.
You know, the year Lainey had this year and tail end of 22. That's where Ella's gonna be, man. I'm telling you.
Well, we love it. We love it.
And you know what? I've called that for a couple of artists over the last few years of me doing this. So I think I'm pretty on point. what was I gonna say? I was gonna say something to you about touring. I don't even remember. Just whatever. But yeah, you know that kind of shit where it goes from one place to another place to another place, it's wild. You know, it's
Not real.
But, you know, when you're up here in New England, you know, I say it to people all the time where, I mean, shit, I could be from my house to Portland, Maine is, you know, just under 2 hours.
Right.
You know, like everything up here is relatively close to one another. Like I could be, you know, I could leave my house right this second and be in Times Square in 3 hours. And that's driving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just wild. It's wild.
For sure. And then you get some of these artists that, you know, a lot of the way that they move obviously comes from the amount of money they make the amount of money the organization makes. So it makes it a lot easier to do things like that, you know, when you can reserve a private jet charter and then, you know, have four cars waiting on you at the, you know, at the tarmac as soon as you arrive, or have your buses drop you off on the tarmac at a private, you know, airstrip,
right.
You know, things like that. The overnight movements, the movements in the dark that nobody sees. Obviously, all that comes at a very high expense.
Now let me ask you, because it just happened yesterday as we're recording this. You know, CMT comes out with the next Women of Country, puts Ella on their list, right?
Sure.
How does that affect, you know, what, you know, the potential money that goes into her and her tour, and, you know, does that change anything, or is it just a, you know, hey, thanks for putting me on this list?
Right. It's definitely a little bit of it all, a little mixture of both. It definitely makes the person, the artist, more attractive when they are, you know, say on the Amazon, you know, next artist to watch, the CMT next Women of Country, the Spotify, you know, artists to watch. When you make those lists, it definitely makes those artists more attractive, more eyes are on them at that point. You know, the show promoters are watching that always, you know, to see who's hot and who you know, they want to come open the show or have, you know, at their venues and, you know, in front of their crowd. So definitely kind of both. Same way goes with awards. Every time you win an award, obviously you become more attractive. The buzz is hot, you know. So, yeah, your money goes up for sure.
Yeah, I remember – you know, I started this whole thing in 2021-ish. And I remember because I have the ego that I have, you know, even when I started, you know, in the first year I had reached out to Ella and her team to have her on the show and never heard back, which I get, you know what I mean? At the time I was a fucking nobody. You know, I had a feeling then a couple of years ago where, you know, I was starting to see her and little thing she was putting out, and it was like, shit, shit, shit. shit.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just know, man. You hear that, you hear it, and you're like, huh, huh. Now, how much about Ella did you know before going into her camp?
Not a whole lot, to be quite honest with you. I mean,
yeah.
I've seen her out at rounds, and I've heard her music, and I've been listening to her music since she started putting music out. I've always loved it. And she's from Alabama as well. So we kind of have that connection, as you know, to hang on. But not a whole lot. I mean, I knew kind of she ran with the Trey Lewis camp and, you know, and some big name riders in town. But, you know, I've kind of always just been on the road. Never really crossed paths. But I know she's good people, you know?
Yeah.
And then once I met her and her camp, you know, that just solidified everything.
You know, speaking of Trey, I have Trey's phone number. He was supposed to be on the show, and then he went on that tour with Kid Rock, and they were doing a bunch of stuff leading up to it. And we couldn't link up. But he might be one of the top five famous people I have in my phone number, in my phone list.
That's awesome.
I'm gonna fucking text him when we're done here and be like, Trey, fuck. You know, it's, you know, but like, I'm sure like you, right? You do this. And, you know, the collection of numbers you end up getting, and, you know, I know for me, you know, being I'm pushing 40 or close to it, you know, and I think to myself, and I have these numbers, and I'm like, how the fuck did this happen? How did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, like, for sure. why do I have Ella Langley's, dropping my microphone. Like, why do I have Ella Langley's TM's direct phone number? Why do I have Justin Moore's TM's direct phone number? Why do I, you know, why do I have Trey Lewis's phone number? Like, why do I have these things? Like, what the fuck has happened?
Well, it's all about communication and connection, man. I mean, That's what makes the world go around.
That's true.
You know, and it's definitely something that, you know, I pride myself off of my database, my Rolodex, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, the fact that I can call JR and ask any question at any time, Doesn't matter night or day. And I know that he's going to answer and give me his best judgment, you know,
right.
It's something that's awesome. You know, it's such a, the job we do is a lot of fun, but it's really hard. And, you know, there's a group chat that JR and I are both in, as well as, I think we're at 103 or 104 people at this time are in this group message, but it's one big group message, and it's all Nashville-based tour managers. Now, just because they're Nashville-based doesn't mean they're country, but, I mean, Billie Eilish's TM is in there. You know, Maroon 5's TM is in there. Lady A's TM is in there. So, and we have this, you know, group chat where, hey, we're going to, you know, Brisbane, Australia. What's the best hotel to stay? You know, hey, we're flying into Miami Airport. Can the bus pick us up at the, you know, at the terminal? You know, it's just one big collection of people who've been doing this way longer than I have, you know, that will give you answers and their experiences. And, you know, instead of staying at this hotel, why don't you try this one? Right. Might be a little bit more expensive, but your stay will be, you know, way better. Hey, talk to this person, you know, and then give me the contact. A great community of, excuse me, a great community of tour managers here in town that you know, will accept buddy with open arms. So really, really proud of the Rolodex and the database that we have here in Nashville to help each other out.
Yeah, man. You know, it's wild. You know, I grew up in a rock and roll background, you know, I mean, that's the music I was into. And when I was in college, I followed around some jam bands and stuff like that. And, you know, that's where I kind of got I soaked my teeth into a little bit with, you know, the whole kind of behind the scenes stuff. 'Cause that's what I love. Man, I got to tell you, the community in country music has been so much more willing and open than anything else I've ever done, you know, outside of country music. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, the country music community in general is incredible. You know, the way that the artists love on each other, the way that the artists give, you know, all these different writers a chance, you know, it's nothing but love, you know.
Yeah.
This is the best job in the world. And we are the, you know, whatever it is, the less than 1% that gets to do entertainment for a living and make it happen so that everybody else can enjoy themselves. You know, it's the greatest job in the world, and I'll, you know, I'm blessed enough to do that. But yeah, country music community is unlike anything else. That's for sure.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, you know, I obviously you run into some people that are like, oh, okay. You know, but those right. are few and far between.
Or they're just having a bad day, you know?
Yeah.
Their flight was, you know, they got to the show an hour late, you know
or, but I'm telling you, there's one artist in particular that I've tried to have on this show like three different times, and it got set up and it fell, you know, whatever happened at the last minute. And I don't know. It just, I'd probably sound like a big fucking baby, right? But it's like, damn it, man. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, Chase, man, fuck, dude, I could talk to you for the rest of the afternoon. we'll have to do a part two at some point, you know, maybe at the
for
end
sure,
of the year
man.
when your year slows down and we can, you know, recap and shit. I do look forward to seeing you in June when you guys are here. By hook or by crook, we will see each other.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, let me know if your contact falls through. Let me know. And
we'll figure it out. You know, if I have to settle for a picture with just you, I'll do it. You know, whatever.
No, we'll get you there, Miss Ella, for sure.
I'm talking with you, buddy. So, you know, because I keep saying it over and over. I'm not gonna do this segment anymore, but here I am. I'm gonna do it. Because we are the Boots and Whiskey Podcast, I gotta know about your boots and your whiskey of choice, Chase.
All right. Well, I'll definitely have to send you a picture. Here we go.
I'll send you a picture of mine. You know, I know what you're talking about.
Your boots or your whiskey there, Jim?
Both. I'll fuck, you know.
So kind of my everyday wear boots-wise now are Tecovas. There's really nothing better right now.
Tell us you make a lot of money without telling us you make a lot of money.
No, brother. these actually, ironically, the two pair that I wear have both been gifts. So
yeah, no, same. I only have cowboy boots because they were both given to me.
Right. Yeah. I don't hardly spend any money on myself. Well,
no,
I do on my bourbon selection, but other than that, we're you know, I try not to spend a whole lot of money on stuff like that. But I do have two pair of boots that I just got my hands back on that were actually my great grandfather's. He wore Stetson hats and wore Lucchese boots. And I've got two pair of Lucchese's. One is black crocodile and the other is a kangaroo. Yeah. And they are gorgeous boots. I like to wear the square toes or the snips. These are both pointer. You know, pointed, but they need a little bit of work on them. But I was thinking about, you know, maybe taking them to one of the Lucchese places here in Nashville and getting them worked on. But yeah, whenever he passed, that was two pair of boots that I was able to get from his stash. So,
damn.
Grand Ole Opry debut, first time I was there, wore those boots. Bunch of like first, you know.
Yeah.
Just for the sentimental value. So.
All right. Now that you said that, hold on. I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Who were you with when they made their opera debut?
I was with Tyler whenever he made his debut. I've been there. So, fun fact, I used to work at the Opry.
Oh, shit.
I used to sell hot dogs. Yeah. I used to sell hot dogs at the Opry. And that was kind of what paid my bills for a little while.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And then I started working with Parmalee, went there once with them. And then I was at Tyler's debut, played it several times since then. And then I was also there with Ella a handful of times. So
damn. Yeah. I
went, yeah. Such a special place, man.
Yeah. When we went to Nashville, we did the Opry tour and all that and the Ryman tour. And it's like, I can only imagine what it's like being an artist to step in there. You know, it's.
Oh yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's gives you chills for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives me chills just thinking about it. Now, what about your bourbon whiskey of choice? What do you got?
All right. So I am a bourbon guy. Okay. I will partake in some good whiskey. I like rye a lot as well.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. So I've got a pretty stout bourbon collection for the amount of time that I spend in town. So yeah, my easy, like, everyday sipper, Basil Hayden. Can't go wrong with Basil Hayden. I've gotten into Jack Daniel's Single Barrel. Is a good one as well. I have the Blantons and the E.H. Taylors and stuff like that, but Elijah Craig, can't beat that. Those are kind of my everyday. You know, if I was sipping every day, those are my sippers for sure.
Nice. I love it.
I just got so my future mother-in-law.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm in a very serious relationship.
You said serious relationship. You didn't say you were getting married, bro.
Well, I got to propose first. So hopefully that's coming sooner rather than later.
Hopefully she's not listening to this.
No, not yet. she will, though, I'm sure. But she knows it's coming. Like I said, we bought a house this year together, family spent Thanksgiving and Christmas together. So
oh, that's awesome.
Awesome. Definitely moving in the best direction for sure.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Thanks. So her mom is she likes wine, champagne, you know, whatever. So at Total Wine, do you guys have one of those up there?
We do. I don't have one close to me though.
Gotcha. So whenever you're a Total Wine club member, you know, you spend X amount of money or you are entered into these raffles or whatever. So she won a raffle the other day and I was able to get my hands on, she ended up gifting it to me, but, E.H. Taylor single barrel. So just most of mine have been gifts, man, to be quite honest with you. Mitchell, whenever we finished the tour with Mitchell Tenpenny, Liga Miller, his TM, incredible guy, just fantastic stand-up guy, gifted me a Woodford Reserve. It's 124.7 proof.
Jesus.
Just unreal.
that must go down like water.
Oh, the burn on it is incredible. What's your go-to? Kind of your everyday sipper?
This is where it gets difficult. So our friends over at 10th Mountain Whiskey, they're out of Vail, Colorado. They have a bourbon, and I'm not a big bourbon guy. I prefer the whiskeys.
Sure.
And they have a bourbon that is fantastic. If you ever get a chance to get it, unbelievable. Really, really good. Vail, Colorado.
Okay. My girlfriend's from Denver, so I'll definitely have to get some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I have your email. I'll hook it up.
Okay.
So they have a bourbon and a rye that I've had. It's been fantastic. I do like the Tennessee whiskeys. You know, like Nelson's Greenbrier. I love Happenstance. Yeah. You know, Jack. Obviously, everybody likes right. Jack. It's the Budweiser, Bud Light of whiskey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like those. Have you had Horse Soldier?
I want to. If I have, it's been a minute, but I want to say I have.
because this stuff, I just actually grabbed it off my shelf. My a buddy of mine had bought it and had a heart attack and he stopped drinking. And he gave me his bottle, and this thing was like full, and now it's like almost gone. And then I looked at the store and how much it was, and I was like, shit, I'm not having one of those for a while. but this shit is great. If you get a, you know, get a chance, Horse Soldier, good stuff. You know, Silver Belly, I like a lot. I really do. You know, Robbie sent me a whole gift pack of that shit. Was actually, I gotta reach out to him because it's almost gone. And then, you know, obviously the Buffalo Trace stuff. You know, I got a bottle of Eagle, I got a bottle of Blanton's, you know. We just did an interview with the guy that runs Log Still Distillery.
Okay.
They have a Tennessee whiskey called Rattle and Snap. That was really, really good. You know, so like I don't mind a lot of the stuff I've had. You know, again, I've been super fortunate where a lot of these bottles I haven't had to pay for. You know, they're like, hey, you do this thing, here's a bottle, let us know how you think. The only one I didn't like was the Heaven's Door by Bob Dylan's
one. Bob Dylan one, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. But I also, you know, this again sounds super fucking dickheadish, but they only sent us those little, like
the bottles, testers.
Yeah. The testers. So I don't know if I got, you know, I got what I should have gotten out of it. So that might need a go around again.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Know. I love any kind of bourbon or whiskey. I'm a huge fan of, even some of the tequilas I get into, you know, some of the tequilas as well. What's your go-to like beverage, like cocktail of choice?
Oh, fucking old fashions all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Old fashions. Same. I even actually, I got a smoker for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I've had smoked old fashions before. I just don't get it. Like I like them. You know what I mean? It just doesn't.
Right.
You know, it's the look, right? You know, so when my brother-in-law comes over, I'll do it, you know, and it's like, oh, look at that. Isn't that cool? Huh? You know, but it's
more the presentation than the taste.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know,
my girlfriend got me a smoker as well, and I enjoy them. And some of these places, man, I've been to one or two places here in Nashville. We live in Franklin, just outside of Nashville. And there's some restaurants downtown Franklin that have just incredible smoked old fashions. And I can try to make them and it never comes out tasting like they make it taste. So,
Yeah, but you know, like I'm not a big mixer either. Like if I'm doing, you know, something with Diet Coke, because I'm a big Diet Coke guy, like it's Jack, you know, it's one of the lower end stuff. But for the most part, you know, if it's not, I can't do a lot of this stuff neat. I know I'm a big bitch, but I have to have it. You know, I have to have it cold. I have to have it on the rocks. You know, I do have some of those stones that you can freeze without getting the water and making it cold. I haven't done that yet because, again, I'm a big bitch. I want it. I need it a little watered down. Some of these, but yeah. Yep.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm big old fashioned, big, like I said, dude, whenever I was touring, it's fine now, but, whenever I started touring at 20, you know, 19, 20 years old, I mean, I was with Andy and like I said, he was a Jim Beam ambassador. So, I mean, the first, we would just drink Jim Beam and then, Basil Hayden is part of that portfolio. So, I mean, just cases would arrive every month at his house and we would just, that was like the go-to, you know, like I've always kind of hung around, the older crowd and, you know, I enjoy the conversation and experience more than whatever the hell it is, you know, than partying necessarily.
Oh, yes.
Most of that leads to partying.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, with JR, we'll be out on the road you know, finally excited to get to play a show together. And like Justin sings, we'll do a shot of Jim Beam and then hit the road, you know, get back to what we were doing. But there's been a few nights where we turned it on, you know, and get on with it. But
yeah,
as far as like sipping whiskeys, I mean, sipping anything, the Basil Hayden, I think is one of the easiest, you know, if you're trying to get a hold of something, Basil Hayden is great for its price point as well.
I'm going to have to try that.
Get some of that. Sorry, my dogs are about to go nuts.
There. Whoa. Yeah, man, I love it. Like, I agree with you. Like, the conversation piece of it alone is fun.
1,000%. That's what it's all about, man.
You know, and then you start talking about it, right? And then before you know it, you're hammered.
Happens more times than not, huh?
Oh, my God, more times than I want to admit.
One second, Jim. No, I'm sorry, bud. Hey, y'all get outside. Come on. Come on, go. Go get them. Jeez.
Do you guys still have snow out there, or is it all gone?
Man, it just melted. Nice. And I mean, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
It has been covered, though.
Yeah.
We got so much up here.
I
bet you are just always neck deep in it, huh?
Not really. You know, this winter has been a little more, you know, the last few weeks it's been, you know, enough snow to keep the grounds covered.
Right.
You know, but I've been kind of giggling seeing all of my friends down in Nashville, and, you know, it's like, we have 6 inches of snow. Everybody's, you know, everybody's losing their mind. And it's like, bro, that's nothing. That's a dumping to us.
Yeah. Like I said, my girlfriend's from Colorado, so let her drive everywhere this week.
Yeah.
Normally she plays passenger princess, but not when it's snowing. I don't know what to do. I'm from Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that's too funny. Chase, man, I've had a blast. I cannot wait to see you here in a couple of months. It's been a pleasure chatting with you and, you know, building this friendship. It really means the world, man.
Of course, my man. And I appreciate you. Thank you for thank you for having me on, and I love what you're doing. Love the podcast. And like I said, anytime I'm up in New England, I'll be sure to, you know, we'll connect.
Yeah.
And, you know, drink some whiskey together.
I'm always down for that. Always down for that, for sure. All right, brother. Well, you have a great day. Again, thank you for your time. It means the world. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate you, Boo.
No problem, buddy. We'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Well, there we go. There we have it. Chase Butler. Wow. What a crazy world he lives in, right? Like, nonstop on, you know, TMing for one of the biggest acts up and coming right now. And Ella Langley has done all kinds of things with Tyler Braden and Parmalee, and the list goes on. You heard it in the episode. I just can't remember at this moment because I record these after we talk to the people. Well, after. Anyway, so yeah, like I said, thank you for being here. If it's your first time, go check out our socials, Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com is the website. Like, follow, subscribe, share. Please, guys, it makes the world to us. We actually just found out yesterday we were number 87 on Apple's list of podcasts for the week for interviews. So thank you for that. 87. Wow. Top 100. I'll fucking take it. That's awesome. Like I said at the beginning, and like you saw and or heard in this episode, everything here, guys, it's all about real people, real stories, real country. You know, thank you so much for being here. Next week we have Michael from the Bar Book on the show. He's got a new app coming out that you're not going to want to miss. This thing is fucking cool. So, check it out. We'll see you next Tuesday. And I hope you have a great week and enjoy the ride, guys. Be good to each other. Next week is also our birthday episode. Oh, hell yeah. My birthday is on Monday. Oh, God, I'm getting old. 37. I'm almost 40. Shit. Anyway, until next week, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass, y'all. Cheers. Thank you for dealing with the sound of my voice right now. I've been dealing with the freaking head cold from hell. But thank you so much, guys, for being here. Cheers. Have a good week. See you next Tuesday. Good night.